It is 10:31 a.m. on Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021, and the March meeting of the Arizona State Board of Dispensing Opticians is called to order. Roll call, Dale Nyblight present, Suzanne Coleman.
Present.
Sherry Mays.
Present.
Eileen Pettit.
Present.
Deb Bright.
Present.
And Terry Brown. Okay, and Michael's not going to be on the call. We also have on the call, we have Megan Darien and our Assistant Attorney General, Scott Donald. Declaration conflicts of interest. I take it as I hear none. Review, discuss, and approval of the February minutes.
Okay, this is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we accept the minutes as written for the meeting of February the 3rd, 2021.
This is Sherry Mays, and I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from the February meeting. We'll do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblight, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
And Deb Bright?
Aye.
All five members on the call have approved the minutes. They're approved as written. Number four, director's report, FDA Office of Criminal Investigations.
There was a meeting yesterday on March 2nd with the FDA Office of Criminal Investigations, special agent, executive director, and the investigator, Mr. Jim McFlurty, related to Paradise Valley Smoke Shop selling contact lenses.
And anything out of it?
No, she actually got the evidence and she interviewed us, and there is going to be a process that she will let me know in the future.
Okay. 4B, performance audit sunset review, 6-month follow-up.
Yes, the performance audit and sunset review of 6 months follow-up is coming very shortly. Two of the recommendations are the board should conduct its planned comprehensive rule review and review of its statutes. So they would like us to review our rules and statutes, basically.
Okay. Now, all the other recommendations, those are the only two that we have not already done the implementation as recommended. Out of the seven.
Yes, there are some. Okay. Yes, there are some follow-ups that they were already done or in the process, but these two are mostly related directly to the board for creating committee and working on rules and statutes. Both.
Well, we already have the rules committee, and that I think is myself, Sherry, and Suzanne. And I think the same group should probably do the statutes, just because we're going to kind of make sure they're compatible, I guess. They're kind of in the same vein. So that would be my suggestion, is that as a board, we have the three members of the board go over the rules and the statutes and see what we can do to get in compliance based off of feedback from Megan and Scott, to keep us accurate with everything that they're asking us to do from the sunset review.
Dale, I agree. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Yep, I concur. This is Suzanne. I concur.
Okay. Well, I guess I don't know if we have to have a motion. Scott, do we have to have a motion to create our committees, since we're actually adding one new one, the statute committee? Or can we just set up those committees?
Mr. Chair, it probably would be better to do it through motion.
Okay.
The board can determine, make a motion to appoint a committee made up of three, and then name the people, and then to
accomplish. So then I will make a motion that the board creates a new committee for statutes consisting of Dale Nyblade, Sherry Mays, Suzanne Coleman, as well as continuing our rules committee of the same three members, Dale Nyblade, Sherry Mays, and Suzanne Coleman.
Were you entertaining a motion or were you making
a motion? I made a motion.
Okay, I will second that. This is Suzanne Coleman.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to create the two committees to review the items uncovered in the sunset review. It's been motioned by the chairman and seconded by Suzanne Coleman. We'll do any other discussion. We'll do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman.
Aye.
Sherry Mays.
Aye.
Eileen Pettit.
Aye.
Deb Brett.
Aye.
And Terry Brown. Nope. Okay. So the five board members present have approved that, and we will proceed with following up on the recommendations in the Sunset Review Committee and see what we need to change. We'll do it.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, one quick question. Is there a time for the committee to report back to the board?
I don't know if we've been given that direction. I know we need to do it. I just don't know. It's going to be the biggest thing is we're going to have everybody make sure they've got a copy of the current rules and statutes so we can go over them, and probably the three of us will have to do a conference call.
They're on the website. They're on the
board
website.
Okay. And I guess, Megan, I would ask for you to follow up with the Sunset Review folks and see if they have a definitive timeline because of, again, the COVID situation and inability to meet us together face-to-face, and get us a reasonable timeline, and we'll just make it happen. I think the three of us can figure out the timeline to do it. I think we'd like to do it as soon as possible. Obviously, any change in statute is going to require us to get a legislator to propose the change. The rules, that's something we can handle as a board. The statute is actually the law. And that's our next steps. I know is we're going to have to, when we come up with our recommendation for the statute changes, is going to have to be run through the legislature. I believe that's correct, isn't that, Scott?
Yes. In fact, the statutory change process, Mr. Chair, is likely a pretty long period of time. It's a pretty lengthy process. Yes, you're absolutely correct. Yes, the board will have to get sponsorship by the legislature for it. It may not be able to happen in this legislative session as it's already so far along, but that will allow the board the opportunity to really reflect and eventually put together a very comprehensive statute package.
Yeah, I was thinking the sense of urgency would be for us to come up with what the statute changes should be to be able to then approach legislature to find a sponsor for that statute change. And then we have to wait and go through the process with the legislature. But I would like us to kind of go through it and come up with what we want to change and get that out there as soon as we can do it. I know it's going to take a longer time to get the statutes changed, but We want to respond to the Sunset Review recommendations and move forward. Any other discussions?
Not at this time.
Okay. Did we have our roll call vote? Do we have it, Mike? We have a motion and a second. We have a roll call vote. approved by all members, and the timeline will be based on what we can come up with our changes, and then proceed through the legislative process for any statute changes. And that could be, well, last time it took us a couple of years, but we'll respond to the recommendation from the Sunset Review Board. Okay, I guess that moves us on to number five, possible violation, Goodwill Store in Tempe. When I looked at that, my immediate thought was, I believe they're violating federal law. As a optical participant in the state for many years, I used to be involved in charitable donations of eyeglasses, and then with Lions Club, we would move them through the process to get them out to needy people. And we were not allowed to use them or deliver them to someone in the United States. And
Can I interject something? So, yeah. Someone that I know that I don't know if she's still the head of the Lions Club down in the southern part of the state, but she actually looked into that. Now, this has been 10 years ago since she told me this, so it may very well have changed. But she said at that time it was not against federal law to dispense used eyewear within the United States or within Arizona at least. But they're actually selling them, so I don't know if there's a difference there.
Yeah, because ours was, when we were collecting glasses, I remember we had celebrities that were donating them, and they said with one condition, that they be used in the United States, and we had to tell them we couldn't accept their donation because we weren't able to use them through the Sight Eyes Gift to Sight program with Lions Club, and we had to use those all outside the United States. But they were not sold. Those were being given away for free. And now they're selling used eyewear, not custom made, for $2.59. I don't know where we go with this. I don't know if it's, because obviously it's not an optical establishment. They are selling prescription eyewear. They're not ready made readers. They're actual prescriptions. Without a doctor's or RX, and without a custom fit, and without a custom fill. So I don't know. Scott would probably need to have a statement from you as to where you think this falls. I don't like what I saw, and it bothers me that they're actually selling someone's old glasses to somebody, and actually have the prescriptions on the package. So someone has to neutralize them, and I don't know. I know it's got to violate some rule for sure, because they're selling prescription eyewear without prescriptions, without licenses.
Mr. Chair, there are going to be two different aspects to this. One would be what you began with regarding the section issues. I can't really speak to the federal issues. It may be a violation of the law.
Yeah.
I know that the board would have jurisdiction on that, although the board could refer it to the appropriate authority. So the board would only be able to really concern itself with any potential state issues. So in terms of state issues, the question would be with board statute, this would constitute a violation of. So the question would be whether or not that investigation to determine if there's been a violation of statute. My understanding of this, I may be wrong, but my understanding was that the eyewear was being sold with the intent that people were really principally for the frame, and then to a position for appropriate emergency again. And I may be incorrect in that. That was kind of what the board had learned.
Scott, I can't hear what you're saying. I'm only getting like parts of every other word. So I heard none of that.
Me too. Me too.
Me too.
I'm sorry. Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. From the federal standpoint, the board wouldn't have jurisdiction if there are any federal questions, but the board would be able to refer it to the appropriate federal authorities. So if there are any federal issues, the board would not be able to handle that. Any state issues, the board would need to be able to enunciate what board statute or rule this would constitute a violation of, which the board may be able to do. The board interprets its own statutes and rules. My understanding of the situation, and I could be wrong, but my understanding of the situation was that the information the board had indicated that the Tyler was being sold through Goodwill, and then with the intent that people were going to take essentially they were buying frames, and they were going to take the frames to an optician and have appropriate lenses put in. I thought that was the information that the board had at this point. There may certainly be further investigation.
The photos that we have show actual glasses with the prescription neutralization on the envelope.
Mm-hmm. Well, the board may have a basis for.
I think it would be our two rules that I think they're in violation of is Rule 420.18 and 420.119, which is unprofessional conduct and substandard care.
Well, when it comes to unprofessional conduct, the question typically, professional conduct is only an issue for somebody who is a professional, somebody who is a registrant. So the issue is this is a non-registrant firm with no registrants working in it. So there wouldn't really be any professional violations. The only violations, the only options would be to try to pursue an injunction to stop Goodwill from selling these.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Rule 5, which is failure of any person, corporation, company, partnership, firm, association, or society to maintain an active alcohol establishment license is required. That's the one I thought they were actually in violation of because they are basically dispensing eyewear. And that falls under the description of dispensing eyewear. We need to do something. We can't ignore where did those photos come from, Megan? The photos that you had on the.
Actually is from Goodwill and Jim McFlurty, our investigator, okay. Went and did.
Those were from Jim. Okay.
Yes.
Well, Jim, did you have any conversation with anybody at the organization?
Or did I did.
You just take the pictures? Okay.
I
maybe
did.
You could update us with your findings as we're talking about this possible violation.
Okay. So I took the photos and I also did the neutralization on them. So that was my neutralization to see what they were. But they have them in bins where you go in and just try them on and see how it looks to you. And people are trying them on and putting them back in the bins. I mean, which is not even healthy with COVID. But I purchased them. Then I asked for a manager, and I had a manager. I had her name on the report, but explained to her. She contacted somebody with their corporate and they didn't pursue anything. They didn't give me any more answers from there. I asked her to remove them from the floor for sale, and she said she didn't have the authority. So that was just how I left it, and I did my report. But people are trying them on and buying them and walking out wearing them like their prescription glasses.
Right. But if I may, Mr. Chair, just to clarify,
no.
Then, so Jim, the prescriptions that were written were written by you and not by, they were not on any of them that Goodwill was selling. Is that correct?
No, there was no prescription. I mean, it was obvious to me that they were a prescription. I made sure I selected them and then I took them and neutralized them to see what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Can I mention something that's similar to this? You know, the VA, they have people bring in glasses there and they have a box, and veterans come in and just try on whatever they want and they leave with whatever is closest to them. Also, I've seen eyewear at thrift stores too. So thrift mm-hmm. stores, I mean, the VA isn't charging, but thrift stores are doing the same thing.
And yeah, I have another additional one.
Are they mostly doing ready-made readers? The thrift stores mainly are selling ready-made readers.
Antique stores do it too.
Yes, yes. Because we've received eyeglasses from them, and they say that they bought them at a thrift store.
The VA at one time employed an optician in the facility.
Oh, there's always right.
There was a professional that was involved in whatever they were doing.
No, I was up to three years.
Yeah,
and I did not know that.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? So when I was optician there for 3 years, before I even got there, there was a box. It was their standard procedures. I did not help the person out. They would just walk in, and it was in this one area, and they would try things on and leave without me saying anything. I did not help them. It's just that's the spot where they were. So that's what they do there.
So I guess what we really have at hand is if this is actually in our jurisdiction.
Right.
Let me ask you this. What is the liability to the buyer or to the owner of the establishment?
No, I don't think there is a liability for them. But the main concern, and this goes to what the board is here for, is to protect the health and safety of the consumer. And that's the issue that I am struggling with, because without any control over this eyewear, someone could maybe need a -3 and pick up a +3, go out, get in their car, and be in an accident caused by these glasses they've bought at Goodwill, because they are not the ones that were prescribed for them. And that's kind of where I'm struggling a little bit, because that to me is I don't know if it's a legal issue, but to me it's a moral issue, because there is the potential of damage or creating a unsafe situation for the wearer. And that's what I'm thinking of. Our overall premise of our board is to serve the citizens of the state of Arizona and provide them safe avenues of eye care. And this is something that's tough.
Once again, the people that would come in the VA to pick them up, they were basically almost all of them were your homeless vets. So I'm just trying to give you an idea in my experience who is picking them up.
Doesn't change the fact that if they get something that's totally wrong for them and they're wearing it, that they could get in an accident, they could cause an accident, they can
I understand that. That's why, I mean, I was always uncomfortable with it, and I agree with you. I'm just shedding some facts into.
Yeah, but the other question becomes, too, is how much is it the role of the government to protect every citizen?
Oh, health and safety, I think it's very big.
But they're adults. If I can't see out of a pair of glasses as an adult, aren't I going to know that I can't see?
I've run into a lot of people that have gotten glasses that were the completely wrong prescription that tried and learned to adapt to it. So
how many incidents, I mean, I just, I don't understand why the government has to be protecting. I mean, how many are sold? Are we talking about billions of people? What are we talking about in terms of numbers and how many deaths and how many, you know, injuries, falls, and car accidents are we really talking about?
We would have to get probably to the medical board to find those things out. Whether they could cause it back to glasses, we don't know. The other issue is the fact that I've been in several different Goodwill stores, and I had never seen eyewear there before. Not the one out by my house, anyway. And that's why I was surprised to see that they had them. But again, like I say, I've been retired since 2007, so things could have changed from back when I was actively working with the Gift of Sight program.
Well, maybe we want to find, Dale, how many sales are going on within Goodwill. How many sales are we finding out?
We don't have the ability to ask them to disclose that to us.
Okay.
We have no way of getting
But the main thing is, is this under our purview as a board?
Right.
That's the main question at hand. So maybe we should refer to Scott and ask him if he sees anything in here that would put this under our purview.
Right. Other than the...
just speaking, I have a difficult time finding an appropriate statute.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah. And the board, while I entirely understand and agree with the mission of the board, and agree that public safety is extraordinarily important, the board also can't act on moral grounds. It can only act within the statutory authority granted.
Yeah.
So the difficulty would be if the board is looking for. If the board is in a position of looking for some way to pursue a potential violator, the more that the board has to look, the tougher it becomes, because the more obvious it is.
Right. Yeah, and I agree that it could be a situation that they're going to just say, hey, we're selling the frames. That's what we're charging for. And that...
Then they would have to take out licenses.
No, and that's something that they... That not, again, that is not something that really comes under our rules and regs. It's out, kind of out on the fringe. Whether we like it or don't like it isn't the issue here. It's whether it does come under the, as Susie said, comes under the purview of the board. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it does. It's just, I don't know.
Well, I don't think it does either, because they are not an optical establishment.
Right.
I mean, that starts getting into Etsy and eBay, and I'm sure, you know, there's so many things where people, so many places where people can sell glasses. Are we going to go
right
after them all? We just can't.
Well, we can't in that avenue, because they're not under the rules and regs of the state of Arizona. They're doing it on the internet. We've been
right
in that.
That's
road
what I'm
before
saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Typical store in Arizona, so, and they're selling eyeglasses, so literally it would fall underneath us, but is it something we want to pursue?
We don't have anything.
They're not
a
licensed establishment, though, Eileen. They're not a licensed establishment, nor do they have a professional that falls under our purview.
Correct. But
they're not,
you must be one, and you must have a licensed optician.
But they're not selling them as prescription eyewear. They're selling them as their defense would be, we're selling the frame. What the people do after they buy that.
With prescription eyeglass prescription lenses in them.
Well, again, they're not being prescribed by anybody. So, it's a very gray area, and I don't think we can overstep that. But I think Scott gave us some good guidance on that that really doesn't fall under ours. I don't think we have an avenue. Jim, they weren't advertising those as prescription eyewear. They're just frames, right? Basically.
They were just complete glasses in a bin, just a clear bin, just all piled in together.
Yeah, that probably more from a COVID standpoint. That's, again, not under our, because that's a terrible thing that's handled by many people and put on their face. But that's not anything that we cover either. So I feel that this is not, as Scott has told us, probably does not fall under any of our rules and regs that we have that we can go towards goodwill with. I don't see we have a thing we can do with it. So I would entertain a motion that we...
Dale, yeah. What about this thought? Because you brought up your moral issue, and if we... Since Jim went to the facility and, you know, mentioned something, what if we said that, you know, the board, we just want you to know that the board understands that you're selling these prescription eyewear glasses, and that we just want to maintain, you know, that we're concerned about the safety of our citizens and with what they're doing with those glasses. And just writing a letter and closing it out that way and just say that we're concerned about the safety of our citizens and hoping that these are sold with good intentions, something like that.
You know, Deb, I actually like that. And we could even put in there, kind of like it was said earlier, that maybe they should just remove the lenses, because really people are just buying them for the frames because they want that, you know, antique look. And so maybe we could put that in the letter as well. That way we're still doing something about it. I like that, Deb.
I'll let you know things.
Are there legal ramifications on that, Scott?
Yeah, I don't know the legal part, but the right. Say that we care.
It
was brought to our attention. I mean, it was brought to our attention as a board. Look how much time we spent on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. From a legal standpoint, the board can send a letter, kind of a dismissal of complaint letter. The board isn't have to be careful how it phrases things because it doesn't have jurisdiction in the area. It's not going to want to give the impression that it's trying to influence necessarily how they're doing things, but the board certainly could point out the letter. A complaint's been dismissed. The board.
It's put in writing. And like you say, how it has to be worded correctly. High pressure or anything. So, Scott, would you and Megan maybe kind of get your heads together and see if there's some kind of letter we could send as a follow up to a complaint that was brought to our attention as a board? And we understand you're not an optical establishment, but we're a little bit concerned about the fact that they do have prescription lenses in those frames, and we're concerned about the health and safety of the citizens of the state. Just a concern letter, and also a situation of saying a complaint was brought to us that we have dismissed. Just wanted to let you know and hope that everything is being done to ensure the safety of their customers. Something like that.
Yep.
It's not pursuing it as a violation. It's dealing with the complaint that was brought to the board, and we're going to notify the Goodwill store in Tempe that the complaint was brought to the board, and we find no foundation for further investigation. Just want to make sure that they're as concerned about the health and safety of the citizens and customers that's in their store. Something in that avenue where it's not giving them a mandated direction, but letting them know that we did have a complaint about it and we have dealt with it and we've dismissed the complaint and just wanted to follow up with them.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Okay. This is Suzanne Coleman. I'd like to make a motion that we send a letter of dismissal and dismiss at the same time the complaint against the Goodwill store in Tempe for selling prescription eyeglasses.
And this is Sherry Mays, and I second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to send a letter to the Goodwill store in Tempe and tell them we reviewed the complaint, dismiss the complaint, and express our hope and best wishes for the health of their customers and our citizens. It was something of that nature. And again, Scott, if you would work with Megan on getting the verbiage so that we stay within our lines and not try to deviate outside the lane.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we do this, dismiss this possible violation. We'll do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Thank you for your recommendation, by the way, Deb. That sounds like a good solution. So, okay, and we've got a motion moved and seconded and approved by all five members of the board on the call. Move on to number six, application for licensure, licensed optician, A.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we accept the application for licensed optician for Kevin Carvins and Rebecca Lynn Trammell.
And this is Sherry Mays, and I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept these applications for licensed optician. We'll do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Welcome to the two new opticians in the state of Arizona. Congratulations. 6B, application for comedy.
Okay, this is Suzanne Coleman, and I would like to make a motion that we accept the application for comedy from Tanner Timothy Luft of Florida.
And this is Sherry Mays, and I second that.
It's been moved and seconded to accept this application for comedy from Tanner Lust. We'll do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
And Deb Bright?
Aye.
Welcome, Tanner, to the Opticians of Arizona. 6C, application for establishment license.
Hey, this is Suzanne Coleman, and I would like to make a motion to accept the application for establishment license for the Pearl Vision number 8858 in Peoria.
And this is Sherry Mays, and I would like to second that.
Moved and seconded to accept the application for establishment license for the Pearl Vision in Peoria. Do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Congratulations, Pearl Vision. You now have your establishment license. Future meeting dates, got them on the board here. Again, other than July, it's first Wednesday of the month. Future agenda items, we will get together and continue to follow 4A. Up on all the rules. Huh?
The 4A, the FDA Office of Criminal Investigations.
Yeah, we'll get a follow up from that, and we're going to follow up on future agenda. We'll do the sunset review follow up. So we will set a time where the three of us will get together and discuss those. Megan, if you could kind of get something that works with everybody's schedule, I'm pretty much free. You guys all have jobs. I don't. Anyway, so that's our future agenda items. Call to the public. Jim, appreciate you being here and giving us that insight. Any other public out there, welcome. And it is now 11:11 a.m., and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, guys.